This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, April 13th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, refugees are front and center during observations of the Muslim religious month of Ramadan this year in Colorado. We'll hear from the head of Muslim Family Services. Then we'll take a look at how the National Park Service is expanding its recruiting efforts to bring people from diverse backgrounds into the Ranger Service. As always on Wednesday morning, Chris Moore will share his commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, and then it's the Hightower Lowdown. On this morning's A Public Affair, we'll broadcast a panel on reproductive rights that took place Saturday during CU Boulder's Conference on World Affairs. Then at 9:30, Indra Raj will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Hannah Stewart.
The Environmental Protection Agency may reclassify air quality in the Denver metro area and along the Front Range from serious to severe non-attainment of the Clean Air Act standards due to high ozone levels. The proposed reclassifications would require Colorado to tighten up air quality measures across the Front Range. An EPA press release indicates under the severe reclassification, these requirements would include the use of reformulated gasoline in summer months and a reduction of the threshold requiring control measures on emission sources. Cars, power plants, and other sources form pollutants that create smog. It generally reaches high and healthy levels on sunny days, but can still be harmful in colder months. The EPA has also proposed updating the standards outlined in the Clean Air Act, as well as a federal plan, to cut pollution at the industrial level. At the state level, a bill to overhaul air quality protection and encourage a shift toward clean energy transportation is currently before the legislature. On Monday, the legislature passed bills to save Coloradans money on tuition and behavioral health. KGNU's Kiara Damari has more.
The Colorado legislature passed a bill on Monday to save Coloradans money on tuition and behavioral health. The bill, HB22-115, was voted in favor 41-19 on Tuesday and will expand in-state tuition to more Colorado students and families. Originally, a student would have to live in Colorado for 3 years before qualifying for in-state tuition. With the new bill, students have to graduate from a Colorado high school and live here for 1 year to qualify. HB22-1278 was also passed and will improve Coloradans' access to behavioral health services and save Coloradans money. The bill is designed to streamline behavioral health care access through the Behavioral Health Administration. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
Congressman Negus unveiled a legislative package to prevent mass shootings, expand worker safety, and increase mental health support 1 year after the King Soopers tragedy. KGNU's Nicole Rubin has more.
Representative Joe Negus announced on Tuesday an approach to preventing and recovering from mass shooting events this week. The trio of bills will be introduced in Congress following the first anniversary of the fatal King Soopers shooting that took 10 lives. The bills will expand worker safety, precautionary security measures in the workplace, and provide trauma and mental health support as a result of mass shootings. Negus hopes to strengthen security measures and safety protocols to aid in reducing threats of gun violence in these public places. Negus stated that the most effective way to combat gun violence is requiring stricter gun control. In November, he introduced legislation in the House hoping to prohibit people convicted of violent crimes from purchasing firearms for several years. But these measures have yet to pass. He told the Denver Post, gun violence prevention legislation has to be the primary goal, but if there are common sense steps that we can take today to better protect our communities, then we ought to provide resources for these cities and counties and these establishments that would like to take these steps. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
The Engaging Local Government Leaders, the ELGL, has named Colorado Chautauqua Park one of the best pieces of historical government land in the U.S. KGNU's Nicole Rubin has more.
The Engaging Local Government Leaders, the ELGL, has named Colorado Chautauqua Park one of the best pieces of historical government land in the United States. The ELGL annually recognizes local government locations and focused this year on historical and cultural sites. Allie Rhodes, City of Boulder's Parks Assistant City Manager, nominated Chautauqua. She explained Chautauqua is a place for the community where people listen to music in the auditorium, have fun in the park, vacation in historic cottages, enjoy scenic views, and hike on incredible trails. The City of Boulder's park staff said they felt an overwhelming support from the community and thanked citizens for being wonderful partners to the Parks and Recreation Department and exhibited appreciation for the amazing place. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
According to a press release from Wild Earth Guardians, over a dozen groups within the Rio Grande Basin sent a letter yesterday to the Douglas County Commission urging them to reject a proposed water export project. The project, proposed by Renewable Water Resources, hopes to build a pipeline to export pumped groundwater from the San Luis Valley to the Colorado Front Range. Currently, Douglas County is the only proposed purchaser of the water. Across the San Luis Valley in Colorado, various groups oppose the pipeline, citing potential negative effects. For example, with climate change, there are already changes in water levels. Groups opposing the pipeline warn that retaining water from the Rio Grande would be catastrophic for water users across Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and Mexico. They also claim that more water is promised to communities than what is actually available. There have been other attempts to transport water out of the San Luis Valley since the 1980s, but the Colorado courts rejected similar projects. The Boulder County Rec Center is hosting a job fair today from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. According to their website, the Rec Center is looking for more than 300 positions. At least 100 of those will be for lifeguards. As reported by Bloomberg, there has been an ongoing national lifeguard shortage. At present, according to Megan Lohman, Senior Manager of Recreation and Facilities, the department currently has 65 lifeguards, but the demand always increases with summer. For example, the Scott Carpenter Pool, which boasts a newly renovated leisure pool, lazy river, and more, needs 12 lifeguards every shift. A continued lack of staff might mean summer closures and reduction of services. More information about the job fair can be found at the Rec Center's website. Today in Boulder, it's going to be cloudy and in the 30s with a high of 43 degrees. The wind is expected to peak from noon to 1 p.m. Outside the Boulder studio, the weather is currently 16 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Stewart. In Mexico, they also claim that more water is promised to communities than what is actually available. There have been other attempts to transport water out of the San Luis Valley since the 1980s, but the Colorado courts rejected similar projects. The Boulder County Rec Center is hosting a job fair today from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. According to their website, the Rec Center is looking for more than 300 positions. At least 100 of those will be for lifeguards. As reported by Bloomberg, there has been an ongoing national lifeguard shortage. At present, according to Megan Lohman, Senior Manager of Recreation and Facilities, the department currently has 65 lifeguards, but the demand always increases with summer. For example, the Scott Carpenter Pool, which boasts a newly renovated leisure pool, lazy river, and more, needs 12 lifeguards every shift. A continued lack of staff might mean summer closures and reduction of services. More information about the job fair can be found at the Rec Center's website. Today in Boulder, it's going to be cloudy and in the 30s with a high of 43 degrees. The wind is expected to peak from noon to 1 p.m. Outside the Boulder studio, the weather is currently 16 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Stewart.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. This year, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan is overlapping with the Catholic period of Lent. It's also taking place during a significant refugee crisis. Some of those now fleeing Ukraine fled from Afghanistan not long ago. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Dr. Carol Watkins Ali, Director of Muslim Family Services, about the significance of Ramadan and how Colorado's Muslim community is weaving a safety net to receive incoming refugees.
Ramadan this year is overlapping with the season of Lent that Christians celebrate as we approach Easter. And so with all of the things that are happening in the world, not only do we have 2 billion Muslims, we have Christians from all over the world joining in fasting and praying as well. And you know that we are focused on the need for world peace. We are focused on the suffering that is going on in the world. Just in terms of Muslims, for example, you know, just recently we have so many refugees going throughout the world from Afghanistan. A lot of those people went to Ukraine and they are becoming refugees a second time. They're suffering all over the world. There are so many things going on as we see that, you know, our democracy, our democratic way of life is under attack. So there is so much to be focused on and to be intentional about strengthening ourselves to address humankind, all of humankind.
I'm speaking with Dr. Carol Watkins Ali, Director of the Muslim Family Services of Colorado. We're talking about the importance of Ramadan. Here in Colorado, how do you see is different the celebration? Is it different from around the world and here locally?
I don't see a difference. It is not different. This is what this is the commonality. We come and we practice with the same rituals, with the same intention, and it's a connecting and a joining of the spiritual power that we have together. So we do the same type of things all around the world, but it is focused mainly on the 30 days of going without the things that we would normally maybe distract us, but also, you know, food and drink. And then the certain times where we should come together and break the fast. That's a very, very important time, our iftar. We're all over the world, same ritual. We come and break fast and socialize and just, you know, be together. Our night prayers, it is all pretty much the same. Here in Colorado, you know, again, I look at the influx of increasing numbers of refugees, and I want to lift that up. Colorado is one of the states where a lot of the refugees will be coming, and so we are definitely gearing up, already dealing with the Afghan and those that will be coming from Ukraine as well. And so there's a lot of gathering resources and making sure that we will be able to feed and clothe and find housing. So this year, there's a lot of focus on our refugee population.
Okay. How long have you been providing? How long has the Muslim Family Services of Colorado been providing these services? And what do you see are the most urgent services for the community?
Muslim Family Services has been in existence for 25 years. And we have been addressing the comprehensive needs of this diverse population, Muslims who come from all over the world. And there are there is a need to support this marginal population to society. There are some hostilities, coming to a new place, being without speaking English and whatnot, where they really need to be able to feel safe and secure and to sustain themselves in a new society. So that is what our organization has been about, you know, providing services and advocacy and educational programs to help Muslims integrate into this country, and also just in general, those that may be needing some help as they, you know, face, you know, some of the hostilities in the society. So we do comprehensively whatever it is, victims of crimes, refugees, people that are in need of emergency assistance for housing, food, or whatever. We really try to support and sustain them and to help them get past some of the barriers in society. And we're like really just one of a kind. Although there are a lot of people providing services, we specialize in the cultural responsiveness to all of the cultural particularities that come with the Muslim population, which is often unserved and creates barriers. So for 25 years, you know, we have been focused on that. And it began with a group of women. A group of Muslim women that said, you know, we're growing in number. It's a very complicated world here for us, and we need an organization like this. Went on to connect with federal funding, state funding, and, you know, just be supported by people who believe in what we're doing. And so we kind of really moved away from the mom and pop into a very sophisticated nonprofit organization that, you know, understands how to deliver services.
I have been speaking with Carol Watkins Ali, director of Muslim Family Services of Colorado. We have been talking about Ramadan, the month of prayer, fasting, and connection to each other, and also about the services that the Family Services of Colorado, Muslim Family Services of Colorado, has been providing to the community here in Colorado. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better.
What kind of person comes to mind when you think of a national park ranger? If you're picturing a rugged, white, middle-aged mountain man, you're probably not alone. But the National Park Service is trying to change that stereotype through a program called NPS Academy, which hosted a spring break orientation at Grand Teton National Park in March, ahead of hiring for the summer season. Kyle Mackey of KHOL Jackson reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Does this look correct? Yeah. How's it? As long as the heel is behind.
Crouched down in the snow on a brilliantly sunny afternoon in Grand Teton National Park, David Linares is putting on snowshoes for the very first time.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
SoCal.
Okay.
SoCal. So, yeah, we seldom get snow up there.
Yeah, probably not a lot of snowshoeing.
Linares is the first generation son of Mexican immigrants. This summer, he'll be trading balmy Southern California for the Montana backcountry as an intern at Glacier National Park.
I found out about the academy through an ad on social media, and I kind of looked into it more, and it was something that I've always wanted to get into conservation. I just knew that the Park Service was probably one of the best ways to get into it.
Now in its 12th year, NPS Academy is a paid program available to 18 to 30-year-olds from backgrounds that have been historically underrepresented in the National Park Service. Julie Gonzalez is Community Engagement Coordinator at Grand Teton National Park and an alumna of the Academy who helped coordinate this year's orientation.
The goal of the program is not necessarily employment, but rather to just create connections with marginalized communities or underrepresented communities in our country to their National Park Service sites.
The Academy does that by recruiting a diverse group of participants, 18 this year, who get a week of training over spring break and then go on to summer internships at parks across the country, including Mount Rainier in Washington and Acadia in Maine. Angelina Pius from Lexington, Kentucky, will be working with backcountry rangers at Grand Teton this summer. She identifies as Black or African American.
I think it's really great to be able to have diversity because I think people are more unwilling to participate in things when they see people that look like them also participating in those things. And new scary experience might be made a little bit less scary if they are with people that maybe are from a similar background.
Diversity also means lots of different things for the participants. Gabby Thompson of Page, Arizona, identifies as white and as a lesbian. Marissa Lopez of San Diego, California, is a biracial Filipino-American.
When you see somebody that looks like you, that talks like you, or somebody that has their pronoun buttons kind of on their uniform, that really means, especially at least for me, that like queer folks are here and we are present. And we are successful, and you
because
can.
Like me, I'm like a relatively like small like Asian girl. So like you don't see a lot of that in the Park Service, or at least when I was growing up, that's not something you saw a lot. So yeah, I'm very excited to like see not just like myself in that position, but like see like a lot of my peers doing a lot of the same thing, and hopefully just like inspire the next generation as well to see like oh. Like,
more than 500 interns have gone through the NPS Academy since it started in 2011, far ahead of the more recent calls for racial justice sparked by the 2020 murder of George Floyd. And while it's hard to quantify the program's success since employment isn't its only goal, Alumni like Gonzalez and Luciana Watkins are proof that the program is helping young people from diverse backgrounds jumpstart careers in the Park Service.
The community that this program builds is unlike any other community I've ever really been in that has been, like, created by an internship program.
Watkins is an Asian American woman from Illinois. Being adopted is also an important part of her identity. As a media associate for the Grand Teton Association, Watkins is putting her educational background in both chemistry and communications to good work. And she says she still keeps in touch with the friends she went through NPS Academy with.
As someone who is coming into the workforce in the Park Service, and it's still majority, like, white, it's useful to have that community of people that are scattered all over the country who are, like, have a shared experience, and we can, like, talk about NPS Academy, or we can talk about, like, our experiences in the workplace, and, like, that support system is built in.
Back outside for the hike, a majority of the group raises their hands when asked if it's their first time snowshoeing.
Yeah. How many of you have never been snowshoeing before? Awesome! I love that. So this is going to be a really fun activity.
Not to worry, the ranger promises. Getting them on will be the hardest part of the whole walk. Kyle Mackey, K-12 News.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make Them Hear You.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Colorado's election system is getting national attention, and it looks like the race for Secretary of State here will be between an accused felon who violated election laws and the woman who has repeatedly been taking the accused to court to strip her of her power to run elections in Mesa County. Republican candidates for Secretary of State are running on a platform of the big lie of stolen elections. In the meantime, election workers are increasingly afraid for their lives. Here's what's happening in our own state. Colorado's election system is the gold standard, according to many observers from both parties. But at the recent Republican State Assembly, false charges of massive election fraud appear to be alive and well, and it's dividing the wider GOP. Delegates also passed a resolution supporting limits on Colorado's all-mail ballot voting system. Indicted Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters nailed a spot on the primary ballot with 60% of the delegates. Peters is already being investigated by a grand jury for election tampering and misconduct. And in an unrelated case, police were trying to carry out a search warrant to seize Peters' iPad to see if she illegally recorded a criminal court hearing and then lied to the judge about her actions. She has already been charged with resisting arrest and may also be charged with attempting to influence a public servant. On video, she appeared to kick at the officer. In the election security case, Peters is facing accusations of allowing an unauthorized person to make copies of sensitive voting machine hard drives. Information from the voting machines and secure passwords were later shared with election conspiracy theorists online. Peters has been indicted on multiple counts for that security breach. She has claimed she was trying to uncover evidence of voter fraud in the 2020 election. A federal investigation is ongoing and could result in more charges. After Peters' arrest, Republican Party leader Christy Burton Brown asked her to suspend her campaign, but Peters defiantly refused. Stop the Steal activists are making the job of election workers considerably more dangerous. Election workers are being harassed and threatened as they carry out their basic duties. Some receive death threats that name their children. Fairly administered elections are at risk. Thousands of people are contacting their congresspeople, asking them to prohibit the intimidation of election workers who are carrying out their duties, prohibit the publishing of election workers' personally identifying information with the intent to threaten or intimidate them, establish address confidentiality programs that can keep election workers' personal information secure, and provide safety training to election officials. In the 2022 election, secretaries of state will be challenged by Trumpers who will destroy mail-in voting and other election procedures. If you have thoughts on election security, you can contact the Secretary of State whose views you most agree with and actively support their campaign. And you can also contact your senators and congresspeople about your thoughts on election safeguards. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
It's now time to check in with herbalist Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk about rosemary. Rose marinus officinalis. It means dew of the sea and is a member of the mint family. officinalis means the official plant of the apothecaries. Rosemary has been used in many cultures for centuries, and it is the above-ground portion of the plant. And it's antimicrobial, an antidepressant. It's considered a cephalic, meaning it's good for all kinds of ailments of the head, such as memory. As a matter of fact, Shakespeare, via Ophelia in Hamlet, said, "There's rosemary for remembrance. Pray thee, love, remember." I like to sleep with a rosemary sachet. It's said to help you remember dreams. Rosemary is also a good breath freshener, and it's good for memory. And one way that I have long used it and taught my children to use it is smell rosemary while you're studying, and then smell it again when you're taking a test. And the studies done at Rutgers State University found that rosemary essential oil had more preservative properties than the chemicals BHA and BHT. Rosemary tonifies the nervous system. It improves peripheral circulation. It's used in a lot of hair products for stimulating scalp growth. It's been used as a mouthwash and a gargle and used in many, many different ailments by millions of people for thousands of years for things like memory loss, anxiety, asthma, bronchitis, digestive problems, halitosis, menstrual cramps, migraines, poor circulation, and even rheumatism. I could say more, but you know, we don't want to get censored. Rosemary is used as a rejuvenative skin wash, a hair rinse. It's rejuvenating to mind and body. I love the story that it is said to thrive well in where the woman rules the house. Here in Colorado, you're going to want to bring rosemary indoors for the winter. So grow it indoors. Of course, if you live somewhere more tropical, you can grow it outdoors. But here, remember, rosemary is for remembrance. When my daughter Sunflower got married to Mitch, we gave each the guests a gift of a rosemary plant so that they could plant it, so that the love of Sunflower and Mitch could grow, as it still does today. Many blessings. Thanks for joining me on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown and then a Conference on World Affairs panel on reproductive rights. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.